Good Monday evening, everyone. It's good to see you out on a Monday night. These are the rapture-ready folks that are come out tonight. We've got a... Amen. We're glad to have you with us on this Monday evening. And we started out yesterday morning, and I mentioned then that we want this revival to have an impact. How many remember that word impact from yesterday morning that we're here? I want to remind us what that word means again, because I think every revival needs to understand its purpose. And I believe that the purpose for me coming to be with you this week at the Long Branch Church is for you, not only during this week of revival, but in the days and months ahead, should the Lord tarry, to have an impact in your family, in your home, in your personal life, and hopefully in the broader community around this church. And remember that that I stands for influence. I believe God wants to make people here people of influence. How many believe that we need to be people of influence? Simply stated, it means we need to be leaders. We need to have leadership ability. We need to learn how to lead. And so in order to do that, we need to be people of influence. And in order to be adequate in leading people, we've got to have integrity in our life. And so I always believe that influence and integrity are tied together in a very close relationship. And, you know, I don't think I can influence anybody if I'm one way one day and another way the next day and they don't see any consistency in my life. Not only that, but I believe the M stands for motivation. How many believe we need to be motivated? I tell you, we've got a lot of, it seems like to me, anemic Christians today, people who seem to have very little motivation. I think our lack of attendance at events and our lack of commitment to the church and to work in the church, and I'm just going to preach for you, pastor, a little bit, being one myself. You know, the church can't operate on people who have no motivation, and our motivation should be the harvest. The people all around us, every one of us needs to have a sense of urgency. How many of you recognize that we're living in the last of the last days? I was sharing with your pastor today at lunch that I had an experience unlike any experience I've ever had in my life within the last year or so. I was watching a prophecy program on television, and just so happened I had my television on, and three men came together and they started talking about latter-day events, and some of you are going to be skeptical when I say this, but even though I was on my couch in my living room, immediately my spirit ascended to heaven and to the clouds, and it was, I told Phil, I said, it happened just like the scripture said, you know, in the twinkling of an eye, quicker than you can imagine. And I knew I was around people, but I didn't see them, but I felt them. And I was telling the people, I was looking down at what I was wearing, and I was telling the people, I was saying, I cannot believe how beautiful it is. I knew I was in a white garment. I knew that it was awesome. It was absolutely brilliant. And I was elated. I can't tell you, I can't describe to you the feeling of elation, of the joy that I felt at that moment. It was just... It was indescribable. But just as quickly as I was there, I was back where I was in that living room, and I was telling how the words were coming out of my mouth. I can't believe how beautiful this is that I'm wearing, and it happened so quickly. And church, I just want to tell you that when God calls His church home, it's going to be quicker. It's going to be instant. It's going to be seamless. One moment you're going to be wherever you are, and the next moment you're going to be, as the scripture says, in the twinkling of an eye, you're going to be with Him. How many are you going to be ready for that moment? How many are you going to be ready, prepared? I'm afraid a lot of people are not going to be prepared, and they're not going to be ready for that moment. And so the third letter of that impact, I mean, the acronym for impact, is purpose. How many of you recognize that we all need to understand our purpose? The purpose for this revival is not just a series of meetings or a series of services. The purpose isn't just so we can get together in fellowship. But the purpose is so that that God, through the Holy Spirit, can do the work that he wants to do in this week, this brief period of time that we're together. We may not see each other again this side of eternity. We may not meet again like this. We need to seize the moment, the opportunity that we have. And so I believe not only that there's a P for purpose here, but there's a P for partnership. How many of you believe that we're partnering together, the evangelists and this congregation and your pastor? We're all putting our efforts together. We're praying together. We're seeking the Lord together. Hopefully you're getting on that phone and calling people, because we've got to get everybody here tomorrow night. Touch your neighbor and say, everybody, we've got to get them here tomorrow night. I just want to just stop here and advertise for a moment. I know our praise team is going to be here from the Rock tomorrow night. I know you're going to be blessed by their ministry. And I believe that we're going to have church tomorrow night. I believe we're going to have an outpouring of the Holy Spirit tomorrow night. I don't believe you should, you know, miss it for anything. So please encourage people to come. We want to see a great climactic ending to this part of the revival, because I believe, Pastor Phil, that the revival spirit is going to continue on. And then the A, of course, stands for action. We've got to take action, not just be passive, but we need to, you know, get on board. Everybody say, get on board, and let's get involved, and let's, you know, let's be proactive. Everybody say, proactive. You know, we live in a time and an age when people seem to be pacifistic, that they just kind of sit around and very passive and thinking, well, everything will happen, I'll just sit here. But we need to really put some legs to our prayers, and we need to take action, and we need to encourage the lost to be here. The time is now. Everybody say commitment. We need to be committed. If we've ever been committed, we need to be committed now. There's a lot of lack of commitment. You know, it's permeated our society today. People aren't committed, unfortunately, to the church. They're not committed sometimes to their own spouse. They're not committed to their job. Is anybody hearing what the preacher's saying? We're seeing a lack of commitment. People are in and out of relationships. They're in and out of pursuits. They're in and out of educational endeavors. They're just go down the list. People are in and out. But where is our commitment? You know, if God was as committed to us as we are to him, we'd be in trouble. Hello. And then the T stands for trust. We need to trust that God's going to do what he has declared he wants to do for the Long Branch Church. How many believe that God wants to bless this church? I said, how many? Boy, that was weak. Pastor Phil, you're in trouble, brother. I said, how many trust and believe that God wants to bless the ministry of this church? Amen. Let me see your hand. All right, amen. Thank God. We want to understand that you're important in this community. This church is important in this community. My understanding, it's been at least a fixture here since 1855. It's been doing ministry maybe longer than that. And so, you know, it's not just a building. You are the church. Touch yourself and say, I'm the church. I'm part of the body of Christ. And we need to take the message of the church outside the four walls. And then, you know, the word impact comes from the Latin impactus, and it literally means to press against. How many of you recognize that we're pressing against some things today? We're coming up against some things today in our society. The world isn't standing at the door knocking, wanting to get into the church today. We've got to make an impact. We've got to press up against the world. We've got to change. We've got to be world changers, and we've got to be salt and light. Somebody say amen. I had told you last night, and excuse me a moment, that I was going to share a message tonight. It was kind of unique. And give you a little bit of background before we get into the word. My roots are evangelism. As Pastor Phil shared with you, I was a full-time evangelist for 7 years in our denomination. State evangelist for many years. And my heart is evangelism and missions, as I've shared. In fact, as Phil shared with you, we're about to go to the Philippines for about 12 days, 11 or 12 days, and we're going to be sharing in ministry there and, teaching and preaching in the Philippines. And that's the kind of heart that God has. God has a heart for the world. How many believe that God has a heart for the world? And God wants our influence, our impact to change the world around us. And I believe that God calls all of us to be evangelists. You say, wait a minute, I don't feel that call. Well, you know, all of us are to be messengers or carriers of the good news. How many believe that that's what, you know, the Greek word is literally a carrier of the good news. That we've got to take the good news, this gospel with us everywhere we go. As my brother shared so beautifully about sharing with a gentleman at an IGA in Irwin that the end of the world hadn't come and that God was still on the throne, we need to recognize in our own lives that God is still on the throne and that God wants us to be not carriers of pessimistic report, not carriers of necessarily doom and gloom, but carriers of the fact that Jesus Christ is risen, that Jesus Christ is coming again, that Jesus Christ has got the answers to your issues. How many believe that? Well, I want to talk tonight about a second touch. How many believe that sometimes we need a second touch? You know, there's only one place, by the way, in the New Testament where we find where Jesus actually had to pray for somebody or touch them twice. And we're going to talk about a blind man tonight from Bethsaida that Jesus touched twice. Touch your neighbor and say sometimes, say it with me, sometimes you need a second touch. Let's stand together. Turning your Bibles tonight to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. And we're going to begin reading in verse 22. Mark chapter 8. Begin reading with me in verse 22. This is the NIV. They came to Bethsaida and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. And then his eyes were open, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't go into the village." Amen. I know we had a time of peace or fellowship a moment ago, but before you receded, would you turn around, shake someone's hand again, tell them how glad you are that they came on this Monday night? This particular miracle that we just read about is chock so full of spiritual truth that we're going to have to unpack it very carefully tonight. It's going to require some spiritual insight, some discernment to really fully grasp all that is happening within the dynamics of this miracle. But as I mentioned a moment ago, this is the only incident in the ministry of Christ in which we're told that he touched an individual twice in order to heal them. This in and of itself, I think, should cause us to pause long enough to investigate the nature of the problem and the procurement of the miracle. In order to unwrap this miracle, let's begin by noticing some things that Mark relates to us. The first thing I want you to notice in verse 22 is that this blind man of Bethsaida had friends. How many of you recognize it's great to have friends? You know, Phil and I have been together this week, and we have been reminiscing, as, you know, often is the case. The older you get, the more you look back on your life and you reminisce and you recount incidents and that you may have done 30 or 40 years ago. And we've had a great time recalling some things in our life, and friends can do that. And what's so wonderful about having friends is a real friend, a true friend, is somebody that even though they know all this stuff about you, they love you anyway. Somebody say amen. It's so wonderful to have friends that that can overlook your faults and your shortcomings. And these men were obviously true friends to this man. Why do you say that? Because they are responsible for bringing this blind man into the presence of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know what? I just wish that people had that kind of passion, that kind of desire, that they would be willing to inconvenience themselves, to go out of their way, to do something that actually caused them to have to make a sacrifice in order to get their friend or maybe even their enemy into the presence of the one who can change lives. As a matter of fact, it wasn't just, I just want to stop here, it wasn't just the fact that they bring their friend to Jesus, but it is the attitude which they possessed as they approached Christ. If you noticed in the text, the Bible says that they begged or they besought him. You know, that's a strong word in the Greek language here. It wasn't ordinary, it wasn't normal that a person, when they first met somebody, that they automatically went into the mode of begging. You know, they might request, they might, you know, they might try not to offend. You know, they wanted to be polite. But these guys are not, you know, worried about protocol. They're not worried about etiquette. They're not worried about offending. They're worried about their friend. I want to tell you something, folks. Sometimes we need to get uncomfortable sometimes in order that we can help people that are in trouble. You've got friends in trouble. You've got perhaps co-workers in trouble. You may have children in trouble. I want to tell you something. When my children are in trouble, I'm in trouble. When my wife is in trouble, I'm in trouble. When my church family's in trouble, I'm in trouble. And it's time for us, in the sense of getting desperate, we need to cry out to God. You see, these men understood timing and they understood urgency, two important elements when you come into the presence of God. Everybody say timing. How many of us recognize that we only get opportunities sometimes once? And these guys, they weren't taken for granted that this opportunity would reoccur, that perhaps their friend would get another opportunity. They wanted to seize this opportunity for their friend. Now, in order for that to happen, they had to move from one spiritual place to another. You say, what do you mean? They had to move out of unbelief, and they had to move out of obstinacy. The Bible says that Jesus, in this particular miracle, took a hold of this blind man. The word is, in the Greek language, literally taking hold. It's an expression here, as if somebody is collecting their thoughts. You know, I believe today that Satan is attacking people in their mind. How many of you believe that today? This is the sense here that Jesus is taking hold to pull this man out of one place and put him in another place. The Greek word here is epilubemos, and it literally means to take hold of, so that that he can recollect himself, so that he can understand that he needs to be pulled away from distractions. I believe today there's a lot of things that are pulling us away from our commitment to Christ, our understanding of what God wants us to do. We need to be pulled away by Christ so he can get us away from everything that's distracting us. Why did he do that? Because he was wanting to make a connection in which he and this man were united together for his better good. Changing his focus spiritually. Folks, I want to tell you, if I have ever seen a time in my life when people needed really to readjust their focus, it's now. I mean, have you noticed how Satan, in very subtle ways, is trying to keep you attached to distractions, to little things maybe that are keeping you from being all that you need to be? In other words, to blind us, to keep us from seeing clearly what his purpose is, what he desires for us. And all of these things, there's a spiritual world that surrounds all of us today. And Satan is using the addictions and the attractions of this world to pull us away from God. How many believe that? And what we see in this passage is Jesus taking hold of this man and pulling him away from the things that are getting hold of him so that he can do something for him. I want you to understand this part of it, because as we flow with this message, we're going to see that there's something significant about his touch. First of all, I want you to notice the Bible said that Jesus spit. Well, in the Old Testament, it was considered unclean for somebody to spit. Jesus wasn't spitting on the man. Jesus was spitting on the disease that had this man blind. You see, I believe today that Jesus has authority over disease. I believe today that Jesus has power over the disease. I believe that Jesus, when he laid his hands on this man, that this man felt the authority of the presence of Jesus Christ. And then he asked him a question. He asked him if he saw anything. The word here is blepes in the Greek language, and it means in the imperfect tense, a continuing situation, something that happened in the past. Now I'm going to stop right here and tell you that I believe that this man, according to what we're reading here, at one time he had sight. He wasn't born blind. This man was able to see at one point. This man had vision at one point. We're going to see that clarified as we work through this miracle. But here's what I want you to understand. In the imperfect tense in the Greek language, this is something that started at one point, but it's continuing into the present. It started way back here, but it's still a persistent problem now. Here's what I want you to understand, that Jesus in our day to day is trying to deal with a lot of chronic issues. Everybody say chronic. If you have any medical background, you know there's a difference between an acute issue and a chronic issue. An acute issue is something you're dealing with right now that maybe occurred yesterday and you're just dealing with it today. But I want to tell you, Jesus was dealing with a chronic issue here, something that had been persisting for a long time. I'm talking to somebody right now in this service tonight. You've been dealing with some stuff. It's been hanging on. It's been a plague on your life. You've been dealing with it, and it's time tonight to get set free from something you've been dealing with for a long time. Everybody say it's over tonight. It's been chronic. It's been something you've been dealing with. It's been something that's been persisting in your life. It's something that you have issues with, and it's been clouding your vision. You haven't been able to see. You haven't been able to get out of this situation. You haven't seemed to be able to shake it. The devil's trying to hold on to keep you bound. But I'm telling you, tonight, you're going to get a second touch that's going to change your life. Everybody start celebrating right now. God is going to do something for somebody tonight. You see, this was a situation that only Christ could deal with. Can I tell you that every situation isn't the same? Everything you face isn't the same. There are different dynamics to the problems that we have. You see, the Bible says that this man saw men on the first touch as trees walking. Now obviously, trees are not meant to walk. I don't know any, trees in Robinson County where I'm from. I haven't seen any of them walking, And hopefully you don't have any here walking. And this man said, I see men like trees walking. And so here's the thing that I think we need to gather from this is the fact that sometimes in our lives, we have a fuzzy outlook. Things aren't really coming into focus. Have you ever been in a situation where, you couldn't really make out everything that was going on? You couldn't really understand all the things that were happening. Why? Because, it was a cloudy look. It was like trying to look through those rose-colored glasses. It was a foggy outlook. It's trying to look through the fog to try to see. And in fact, this is the language of the Greek here. He's saying this man is looking out and he's not getting a clear picture. Church, when I begin to look at the world today, there's some strange things happening. There's some things happening in our society today that I didn't ever think was going to happen. If you'd have told me when I was growing up that we'd have same-sex marriage, I'd have laughed. I'd have said, you're absolutely out of your mind. But I see trees walking today. You say, what do you mean? I'm seeing some strange, unnatural things that are taking place when we're sanctioning same-sex marriage, when it's okay for two men or two women to be joined together. Folks, there's something wrong with that picture. You say, wait a minute, I didn't know you were going to, preach on those kind of things this week. I just want to tell you that it's time for us to understand that in the spirit world that Satan is trying to destroy, to keep people in darkness. People think it's okay. We want to accept it as normative. We want to think everything is okay just because we want to find a biological or sociological answer for these dilemmas. But I'm telling you, they're spiritually based, and we need a brand new touch. Hello. There's something wrong when the religious world sanctions the ordination of homosexual priests. Hello. In the name of tolerance and inclusiveness, we're in a place today that is haunting. It's not that I'm not talking against the people who are bound. I'm praying for those people. Every one of us have our issues. All of us have our sins. All of us come short of the glory of God. But here, thing. We don't have to stay in darkness. We don't have to stay in spiritual blindness. God doesn't want us to see things in a wrong sense. God wants us to see things clearly. We need definition. We need clarity. Everybody say clarity. God wants us to soar. Everybody say soar. How are we going to soar? That's an interesting word. This This man is going to come from one place to another place. He's going to move from one place of experience to another place of experience. God's going to bring him to a whole new level. He's going to soar. How do we soar? First of all, the S stands for seek. Everybody say seek. We got to seek God. And these men sought out Christ. They besought him. They besought him. What does that mean? They sought him out. They looked for him. Have you noticed people, they're looking at all things of the world as their answer instead of Christ. In order for us to find our deliverance, we've got to seek the person of Jesus Christ. Even our churches today have been led into believing that we could seek after wealth or seek after material gain or seek after prominence in our community or popularity, the deferment of seeking after Christ. Can we come back to the center? We've gone way too far to the left, trying to correct, going way too far to the right. And I just believe it's time for us to get back to the center, that is to the personage of Jesus Christ, to seek him for our wisdom, to seek him for our eyesight spiritually, to seek him for discernment. You see, when you see men as trees walking, there's also a perception problem. A discernment problem. There has to be here an understanding of an optical problem. Everybody say optical. That O stands for optical. You know, we have optical illusions. People are seeing things, but they're not really seeing them. They're looking, but they're not really understanding. And it's interesting here. We're going to get a little bit into the Greek language. And I'm not trying to give my homework to you tonight. But I want you to see this, because this is interesting to me when I studied this. That the narrative uses three ways to see. Everybody say three ways. In order to do that, he has that simple Greek word blepo that first year Greek students learn in their vocabulary. But he uses it with three different prefixes. And everybody say, what's a prefix? Well, it's a little word that helps define the larger word. It kind of prefixes it. It changes its meaning. And these three prefixes for this word that he uses in this passage are ana, dia, and in. And again, I'm not trying to give a Greek lesson here, but I want you to understand that the first, ana blepo, means to look up. Everybody say, look up. Notice he looked up here. Hallelujah. He looked up. Everybody say he looked up. You see, I want to tell you something. Sometimes we're looking all around. We're getting our visions distorted. And if there's an optical illusion going on, we can't soar. We can't fly if we're not seeing properly. He looked up in order kind of to get his bearing, to kind of understand his source. How many of you know that sometimes we just need to look up? I mean, when I look around today, folks, I see our society in trouble. I see families in trouble. I see teenagers in trouble. I see, people in general in trouble. And sometimes as a pastor, it's overwhelming when you look at all the needs and all the people and all the problems and all the perplexity of our world. I want to tell you, it's that moment that when I get down on my knees, I look up and I recognize there's a sovereign God in heaven who can deal with chronic issues and chronic problems that have been plaguing and persisting in people's lives, and he alone can set them free. Would you give the Lord a praise offering right now? The second prefix that gives a different definition to the word see here is the prefix dia. And in the Greek language, it means through. Everybody say through. He's going to not only see up, he's going to be able to see through. I want to tell you something, folks. Sometimes the most wonderful ability to see is being able to see through. There's been some situations in my life when I didn't see a way out. I didn't see a way in. I didn't see a way to move. I was stagnated. I was hemmed in on every side. But somehow, some way, through the Holy Spirit, God allowed me to see my way through. Somebody give Him praise. Hallelujah. I had somebody I was talking to recently. They had been going through just a real attack on their life. And they characterized the way they felt by telling me, "I'm a lost soul. Pray for me. I'm a lost soul." I want to tell you something, folks. There's a lot of quote unquote lost souls in the world. People that feel like they can't get out. They're going around and around in circles. They're in that malaise. They're in that place where they can't seem to find their way out. They're trying to find a way out. They're trying to get out of the maze. They're trying to get out of the problem, but they can't seem to see through. This man was like that. He was going through a situation here that God was gradually, everybody say gradually, bringing him through. You see, sometimes people, you know, I want to tell you, God will give you an instant miracle. God will give you a miracle right at the moment. God will give you a miracle that will last the rest of your life. But sometimes God, in a process, through a gradual process, God will bring you to that place. Here's what I want you to understand. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on your dream. Don't give up on your vision. Don't give up on what God's promised you. There's a second touch on the way. Somebody give him some praise in this place. Hallelujah. So what do you do when you get to that place where you can't seem to see your way through? Then he says another prefix is in. And literally it means to look into, to see clearly and distinctly. You know, I believe today that God wants to touch us again. Everybody say again. We didn't get that revelation the first time, so God has to touch us again. We didn't get this sermon tonight, but God's going to let us rehear it so that we can get it in our spirit. And it's going to open up our vision. When we hear it again, somebody touch your neighbor, say again. I want to tell you something. You know, some of you thought that your marriage wasn't going to work. Some of you thought your business wasn't going to work. Some of you thought that your life was not going to work. But I'm telling you, God is about to touch you again. God is about to come around again. God is about to lift you up again. Why? Because you need that second touch. You didn't get it the first time. But God's going to touch you again. Can we just give him a praise right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then notice that God wanted a powerful reminder that not only did he need his vision back, but he needed two P's. Everybody say two P's. He needed his perspective back and his perception back. I want to say that again because it's very, you know, it's a very fine line, but it's a very real line. He got his perspective back and his perception back. Folks, today, sometimes we get disjointed in our walk, and we lose our perspective. We seem to lose that understanding of what we're here for, of what the church is all about, of what our relationship with God is all about, of even perhaps, you know, why we're here tonight. I want you to get some perspective tonight. This is just one small time out of eternity. We need to understand that every moment, every second, every hour that God gives us is important. That we need to seize this moment in time that God has given us. We need to get a perspective here and understand that God has come to us right where we are. Why did Jesus pull him away? Why did Jesus get him out of this city? Why? Because Jesus wanted his attention so he could get a brand new perspective. I'm going to show this to you right here. When he looks and he opens up his eyes, Jesus is standing right in front of him, but he doesn't mention anything about seeing Jesus. All he sees is men like trees walking. You know, sometimes Jesus is standing right in front of us and we don't even see him. We've lost our perspective, church. It's all about me. It's all about my problems. It's all about my issues. It's all about, you know, the devil wants us to get so clouded in our vision. He wants us to get so inward in our focus. He wants us to get so tied up in knots that no matter how much we get encouraged by somebody, we stay discouraged. No matter how much preaching we hear, we still stay in unbelief. It's time for us to move out of our unbelief. It's time for us to get our perspective. You're blessed. Touch your neighbor and say, you're blessed. You're blessed beyond your ability to receive it. You're blessed beyond your thankfulness. You're blessed beyond your gratitude. We're getting toward the holiday season's feel, and we're supposed to be celebrating Thanksgiving. I believe it needs to start right here tonight on this Monday night at the Long Branch Church, and for you to just say to yourself, I'm going to get it tonight. I'm going to have the right perspective about my life, about my issues, and about the one who can solve my problems. And secondly, we need to have perception. What does that word means? It's literally an understanding of discernment. Perception is almost a synonym of discernment. We need to have perception. That ability to perceive, that ability to look into. That's what that in Blepain. It's looking into. It's not just seeing, even though it's clear in our focus, but it's that ability to look into something and perceive and to understand what we're seeing. Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit. Children, listen to me, for I have called you into a place of great abundance. But now, saith the Lord, you must share this message with this world. I'm coming soon, saith the Lord, and you must hear what I say. Do your work with a sense of urgency. See and understand that my coming is nigh. Do not be hesitant about what you're to do, but do it with great boldness, for I, the Lord, will be with you. Would you give the Lord praise right now? Hallelujah. Satan doesn't care how long he keeps you in darkness. He doesn't care how long you stay in that position. He wants you to stay in that position. Why? Because as long as you're dysfunctional, as long as you're immobilized, as long as you're paralyzed, as long as somebody's got to be leading you by the hand, you can't function in the faith that God has called you to. But God is releasing the shackles tonight. I spiritually see them falling off of people from their hands and from their feet. You've been bound for a long time. I see in the spirit right now that the chains of bondage are falling away, that God is lifting you up, that you can soar. Why? Because God is putting you to a different place. Somebody say amen. How many believe that God wants to activate our faith? Everybody say activate. You see, it's not only enough to seek God, to not fall into optical illusion, but it's also important that we activate our faith. How many believe that faith was a part of this process? It took faith for his friends to bring him to Jesus. They didn't bring him to Jesus because they didn't think Jesus could do anything for him. They begged Jesus because they knew that he could do something for him. Hello. Here's some good news. Some of you, God's going to use you as a vehicle to get others to Christ. God's going to use you as a conduit for his blessings to flow into other people's lives. I want to tell you something. The greatest joy that I can have tonight is not that I receive a blessing, but I can be a conduit so that you can receive a blessing. Somebody give God some praise tonight. And then the R, we need to be able to recognize what God is doing in this present moment. I don't think that in spiritual terms that some people recognize, really recognize what God is doing in this present moment. God is putting his church together right now. Worldwide, God is putting his church together. Here's what I'm feeling in the spirit. In fact, I shared it. I had a staff meeting Friday, about a two-hour staff meeting at my church, and I was sharing with my leadership, and I was saying, guys, what I'm feeling from the Holy Spirit right now is there's a separation, there's a threshing that's going on right now. You say, what do you mean? If you read in the book of Prophet Joel, he talks about the fact that in the last days there's going to be a valley of decision. How many believe that the multitudes are gathering in a valley of decision? You see, this is a picture of a threshing floor where the chaff, the wheat separates. And I believe that right now that people are either going to, the time is coming, listen to me, either you're going to stand up for God or you're going to sit down. You're going to either be somebody that stands up for God and make a difference, or you're going to be an absentee Christian. You're going to sit down and you're going to be quiet and you're going to kind of go with the flow and but God is drawing a line in the sand, and you're going to have to choose on whose side you are. I recognize that our nation has never been more divided than it is right now. That it's politically divided, that it's being racially divided, it's being socially divided, it's being economically divided. Have you noticed that in our world today that there's been a great move of division since President Trump got into office, that we're seeing it even more and more and more? It's growing in tension, it's growing in attitude, the left-wing liberals and the right-wingers and everybody choosing sides and everybody getting angry. People getting mad, and everybody's life matters, by the way. But I'm telling you that we need to recognize that there's a spiritual stream flowing. It's a stream that's divided. And one stream is going the way of the world. One stream is getting caught up in the world and the culture and the milieu of our world. And there's another stream of righteousness and holiness that's flowing from the throne of God. And there are others that are coming from around the world, and God is bringing us into that stream. We need to recognize where we are right now. It's time for us to wake up. We've been asleep, but God is saying, look up. What do you see? I'm asking you tonight, what do you see? Where are you at? Do you need a second touch to get your vision cleared? Do you need a second touch to get a new perspective? Do you need a second touch to have a greater perception? Do you need a second touch to remove the optical illusions? Do you need a second touch to understand that you were once blind, but now you can see? Somebody give him praise. Hallelujah. I'm closing. I I want you to stand with me if I could get somebody to a musical instrument here. What did Jesus tell him not to go back to the town? Why did he say don't go back to that town? You know why? Because I believe that Jesus was trying to move this formerly blind man out of his old environment. He said, don't go back to the familiar surroundings, because those folks are trying to talk you out of your miracle. You know, there's people that are trying to talk you out of your blessings. You came to church tonight on Monday night. You sacrificed. You came out tonight. God bless you. Don't you let somebody talk you out of what God wants to do for you. Can we just lift up our hands right now? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I want us to get vision back, perspective back, perception back. I want us to get, Father, all the cloud out of the way. I want us to be able to see clearly. I want our people here tonight to be touched and moved by the Holy Spirit in such a dynamic way that they're never the same again. And some of these chronic issues that some of the people here have been dealing with, today is over. Today it's done. Hallelujah. Today is the last day you're going to deal with this issue. Would you give me now, put those hands together and let's praise the Lord. I need you to bow your heads for just a moment, because I want this time with some people that is in this service tonight. I make mistakes. I'm human. But my Heavenly Father doesn't make any. And I'm telling you right now that this message has been designed for what ails you. There's some of you right now, you're in this service, and the devil's telling you, don't you go to that altar. Don't you listen to that preacher. But some of you need a second touch. You've been in some dealing with some issues. They've been plaguing your life. They've been hindering the flow of the Spirit in your life. And you're not going to get